all in anymore, do we?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dan Cairns. I'd like to call to order the May 10th, 2018 hearing of the Clark County Land Use Hearings Examiner. I will be presiding over this evening's hearing, single item. Let me begin with a brief introduction to me and how the process will run this evening. First of all, I and one other person, we serve by appointment from the Board of County Councilors to hear these land use applications, to evaluate the criteria, review the staff reports, and all of the various comments that come in on each one of these applications, then to hold a hearing such as this, take testimony, and ultimately our job is to decide whether the application meets the approval criteria. Those are the standards that were in the county's Unified Development Code on the day the application was submitted, and those are the standards that will control the outcome on each of these items. It's not my job to be more stringent or more lenient than those approval criteria allow, but rather to interpret them and then look at the record to see if the applicant has submitted sufficient evidence to demonstrate compliance with every single one of them. If that evidence is in the record, demonstrating compliance with all of the approval criteria, I'm obligated to approve the application because that's the most the county can ask of a developer, mere compliance with the approval criteria. I'm also required to provide an impartial judgment. I believe that I am with this item. I don't have any business, familial, or any other relationship with the applicant or any of the parties associated with this one. If you have any questions or challenges to my impartiality or any potential conflicts of interest or ex parte contacts, feel free to ask those during the public testimony portion of tonight's hearing. The way this will run this evening with regard to this item, we'll begin with a staff report, which is a verbal rendition of the written staff report that was issued prior to tonight's hearing. I think there's still copies of the staff report at the back table. That report is a good roadmap to the approval criteria. It analyzes all of the standards that apply, discusses the evidence and the application in the context of those standards, and staff makes a recommendation as to whether, in staff's view, those standards are met or not. And at the very end, you'll see many, many pages of conditions. Conditions are typically applied in order to bring or assure compliance with each of the approval criteria. So the findings themselves are critical. The conditions are critical if this application is going to ever be approved. After the staff report, I take the primary presentation from the applicant. Assume that I'm familiar with the application. I've read the materials. What I'm looking for primarily from the applicant is what's changed, what's new about the application. I've had my record for about 2 weeks now, so I need to know, and this is a particularly important case, for what is the plan that's before me. This has gone through at least three substantial revisions before finally arriving at a final form. And so I'll need that kind of clarification. So what's new? The second thing I need to know from the applicant is I need particular specific responses or corrections or challenges to the proposed findings in the staff report and the proposed conditions in the staff report. And the third thing I need from the applicant is to keep track of the public testimony that comes in tonight, take note of the issues raised, and be prepared to respond to those issues raised by the public that are in the wheelhouse of the applicant. A lot of times, testimony that I receive from the public comes in the form of, how is this development going to affect me? How is it going to function? How is the traffic work? How is the stormwater system work? And those are usually questions best answered by the applicant and their design professionals. So that's the third thing that I'm looking for from the applicant. After that, I'll take testimony from anyone else in favor of approval, then anyone with neutral testimony or questions, and then finally, I'll take testimony from anyone opposed to the proposal, opposed to approval. After that, I'll take the applicant's final rebuttal. The applicant in all of these cases gets the last word, and that's because the applicant has the burden of proof, the burden of proving that they have met all of those approval criteria. So they get the last word at the very end. After that, I'll come back to staff to see if there are any parting comments or observations based on the testimony that has come in. And then my typical habit is to close the record at that point. If any of you need additional time to formulate your testimony, you can ask for a continuance of the hearing or that the record be kept open for the submission of more written materials. If you want either of those things, you need to ask for that during the public testimony portion of the hearing and give me some justification or explanation as to what you want. My decisions, typically, I issue them in writing about 2 weeks after the record closes. It's not my normal habit to declare a winner or a loser at the hearing tonight. My decisions are final and can be appealed to Superior Court through the Land Use Petition Act under state law. To appeal one of my decisions, though, you have to participate. You need to provide written or oral comments before the close of the record. You need to raise before me any issue that you might want to preserve for a subsequent appeal to Superior Court. And you need to present to me any evidence or documents that you would like to rely upon in that subsequent appeal. Whether the record is open or closed is a big deal. And so, as I mentioned, it's my habit to close the record at the end of the hearing unless I receive a request to keep it open. So as part of your preparation and participation, remember to raise all the issues that you'll want to, that you think are material, that you'd want to preserve for an appeal, and also submit any evidence. Here are some basic do's and don'ts for participating tonight. Do so only in that order that I just recited so I can keep all the different sides straight in this thing. When it's your turn to speak, come on up to this table in front of me. Part of the record I'm compiling is an audio recording of the proceeding. So you have to speak into these microphones in front of me. Begin with your name and mailing address. Spell your name so I get that close to correct. We need your address because state law requires us to send copies of our decisions to everyone who participates. And so we early and often try and get your mailing address for that reason. You can also sign up at the back of the room. I think there's a place to put your mailing address if you want to receive a copy of the decision. And I think we do email since this is the new millennium. When you testify, focus on the approval criteria. Stick to those. In fact, I mentioned my decision is governed quite strictly by those approval criteria. They're analyzed in the staff report, so you need to tailor your testimony to those criteria. I really can't take any extraneous issues into consideration. My job is governed quite strictly by what's in the code. Remember to submit any evidence, log the evidence, any documents you want me to consider, log them in advance. They'll become part of the permanent record. Be prepared to leave them for us, for me. So that's an important thing. Also remember to raise any issue that you want to preserve for a subsequent appeal. That's it by way of a procedural rundown. If you have any questions going forward, feel free to ask them. The only item on tonight's agenda is kind of a complicated one. Alpine Village, that's PLD 2017-47. 31 new lots on 3.55 acres. It's split zoned, R18, R1-6. It's got the Highway 99 overlay. It's got narrow lot development. It's got everything but critical areas. With that, I'll take a staff report, please.
Good evening, Mr. Hearings Examiner. My name is Melissa Curtis, and I'm a land use planner for Clark County Community Development. Staff's role tonight is to provide an overview and a summary of the applicant's proposal, identify any major outstanding issues or concerns, and make a recommendation to you. With me tonight is David Bottomini, the project transportation engineer. Tonight's case is Alpine Village Subdivision. The applicant's request is to subdivide 3.55 acres into 31 residential building lots. 16 of the lots will be attached homes, 15 detached residential homes with one duplex located on a corner lot. This development is located in the R18 and R16 zones, utilizing the narrow lot line development and the Highway 99 overlay standards. This application also includes a SEPA site plan, a road modification, and a geotech application. The applicant is Sterling Design, Inc., and Joel Sterling is the contact. The project is located at 1610 Northeast 70th Street. Next, I will provide an overview and the summary of the proposal, and then make a recommendation to the hearings examiner. On the vicinity map, the location of the subject properties are identified with black dots. It is located north of Northeast 68th Street and west of Northeast 70th Street. The zoning map provides a closer look of the subject site and of the Northeast Hazelville neighborhood area. The site is highlighted in red. We see by this map that the north portion of the site and properties to the north and west are all zoned R18 with the Highway 99 overlay mixed residential. The south portion of the site and properties to the east, south, and west are zoned R16 with the Highway 99 overlay of single family residential. Here we have an aerial photo showing the development site. The site is outlined in red, and it is currently vacant. Here is the preliminary plat proposal as submitted. Here is the preliminary plat and the north arrow pointing up. Here is lots 1 through lot 31. Lots 1 through 4 and 27 through 30 are all within the R16 zone and are single-family detached homes, and lot 31 is proposed for a duplex. Lots 5 through 26 are all within the R18 zone. Lots 5 through 12 and lot 19 through 26 are attached townhomes, while lots 13 through 18 are single-family detached homes. Each of the housing types will utilize the common yard frontage standards within the Highway 99 design criteria. Here is Northeast 68th Street, proposed Northeast 16th Avenue, and the internal public road Northeast 70th Street that continues across lots 13 through 18, the single-family detached homes within the R18 zone. The next few slides are of a site visit that I went on. This map should assist in gaining a perspective of the area where each of the photos were taken. A couple on Northeast 70th Street, here overlooking the property. On Northeast 68th Street looking west, and at the intersection of Northeast 16th Avenue and Northeast 68th Street. And lastly, Northeast 68th Street looking onto the site. In this first photo, I'm standing at the internal public road Northeast 70th Street, looking west onto the site. Here's where proposed Northeast 70th Street will be. I'm at the same location looking onto the site. Here's a sloped area, and this area is where lots 12 and 13 and proposed Northeast 70th Street is. I have moved over to Northeast 68th Street, looking west. The subject site is located to the right of the screen. Still on 68th Street, looking west, here's the approximate area where proposed Northeast 16th Avenue will be. I'm looking onto the site where lot 31 with the duplex is proposed. Here's the most eastern property line. I'm at the same location with a better view of Northeast 68th Street frontage. Currently on site, there's a high berm and a lot of vegetation. Here's a closer look of the high vegetation berm along Northeast 68th Street. Now I'm at the intersection of Northeast 68th Street and Northeast 16th Avenue, looking onto the site. Here is where Northeast 16th Avenue is proposed, and it is the main entry for the development. This concludes photo of my site visit. I received a phone call by Doug Allman on April 30th. He stated that he was not the owner of the project and would like his name removed from the report. On Exhibit 1, Tab 2, and Exhibit 49 of the application, his name and address was listed and therefore was placed on the staff's recommendation. With the applicant's approval, I would like to replace Doug Allman as the owner with Alpine Village by Stoller Development, LLC, with the address of 4400 Northeast 77th Avenue, Suite 275, Vancouver, Washington, 98662.
What was that suite number?
275. I would also like to make another change to the staff report. On the first page, the case numbers GEO 2017 number 22 was duplicated. If you could please replace the duplicated number with the road modification of EVR 2017 number 20. So both of those years should be 17 and not 18 on there.
Okay.
A SEPA determination of non-significant was issued. This determination is now final, and no appeal was filed. Staff report with a recommendation to the hearing examiner was issued on April 25th, 2018. And staff's recommendation for this application is approval with conditions as stated in the staff report, which is identified as Exhibit 61. A quick review of the proposed development. The applicant's request is to subdivide 3.55 acres into 31 residential building lots. 16 of the lots will be attached townhomes, 15 detached residential homes with one duplex located on a corner lot, all located in the R18 and R16 zones, utilizing the narrow lot development and Highway 99 overlay standards. This concludes.
One question. The Highway 99 overlay standards apply to the entire site?
Yes, it does.
And the narrow lot standards they're shooting for just apply to the attached?
Yeah, lots 5 through 12 and 19 through 26.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And this concludes my presentation of Alpine Village Subdivision, and we'll be available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Engineering?
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Examiner. David Bottomini, Clark County Development Engineering. I would like to add one piece of information to the finding provided for you with respect to the minor deviation, road modification, and it pertains to couple alleys that are proposed as part of this development. You'll see them on the plan, and they are privately owned and maintained as part of the proposal. One thing I would say is that they are proposed as being 26 feet in width, both of them, and that does exceed the standard by 6 feet with respect to both alleys that are proposed.
Which finding is this?
It would be finding number 4 under transportation.
Okay. So let's see. So there's a maximum width requirement?
Oh, no, I mean the minimum width is 20 feet for an alley.
Right.
And they are proposed as being 26 feet in width for with respect to both. It's just something I wanted to add in addition to the links that are...
Okay, so it's not you're not correcting anything in here.
It's just adding.
Okay.
And
there's no maximum limit, so this is an acceptable thing. It doesn't require...
It is acceptable, and the thing about it is that these alleys are proposed without turnarounds. However, the applicant has provided additional width such that... turning movements can be achieved.
Okay, so
at the ends of these alleys.
Matters in the context of the criteria for the road mod. Okay, I'm tracking now.
Yeah.
I do want to say one thing. The road modification number is 2018, because that one was applied this year.
Oh, really?
Yes, so on finding 4, in the staff report, that same finding, it is EVR 2018.
So that's correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And alley minimum standard is 20 feet?
Correct.
Okay. Any other changes? Any other engineering issues of note that aren't otherwise covered in the staff report?
Not at this time, unless you have any further questions.
There was a question. The only objection to the record from the halls had to do with cross-circulation and request for a barricade. I think the applicant dealt with it. Could you orient me with regard to their comments? Are you up to speed on their comment? It is.
I'm sorry. I'm not with respect. In terms of the – you're talking about the western terminus of 70th Street?
Yes.
At the property line.
And so we're talking Exhibit 57.
And the applicant can speak to that further. It is something that would be addressed primarily during final construction plan review, but I would think that...
the applicant did address it. You know, cross-circulation requirements are what they are, and the applicant has not requested a road mod to not cross-circulate, so...
Well, with respect to the, first of all, the barricade,
mm-hmm.
There was a question as to whether or not there should be a barricade.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there will be one there. But the applicant can speak to that further, and transportation will review it during final construction plan review. Now, the applicant, furthermore, with respect to circulation, the applicant is providing or proposing circulation to the west. Of course, there's an extension of 70th Street and then a stub of 70th Street at the western property line. So that is proposed in order to meet the circulation standard.
Okay. There will be a barricade for now.
My understanding is that I believe there will be a barricade there at the property line.
Okay. Well, Mr. Sterling will address that then. Anything else of note? Okay. We might come back. With that, I'll take the applicant's presentation, please.
Good evening. My name is Joel Sterling. My last name is spelled S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G, unlike my company name, which is S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. My company prepared or coordinated all of the reports, applications, drawings, technical information for the application. And you're correct. We went through many design iterations. Much
47,
more than
I
that.
Think.
Three. Iterations.
Oh, only three. Okay.
You may have only seen the last three, but there were at least 10, if I can remember. But the late nights have erased a lot of my memory. I'll start off fresh with what you were just speaking with Mr. Bottomini about. I believe the comment was, can we keep a barricade up between the existing neighborhood?
On which end? Is there an existing?
That'd be the east end.
Okay, so there's an existing.
And the comment from the adjacent owner was they're not opposed to the development, but they would like to prevent traffic from driving through the adjacent subdivision. My response is it's public right-of-way. That's not something, as an applicant, we can decide. So that was the comment. But Mr. Bottomini is correct. We will put a barricade at the westerly terminus as well.
Okay. And so it's anticipated that won't really satisfy these people who live on the east side of this project, right?
Yeah. I've never seen a barricade remain in place in the middle of a public road, but it's not.
Seems kind of hazardous, but.
Yeah. But again, that would be a decision that's made at the public works level. Not with our construction drawings.
Okay. I just was hard to interpret and orient myself with this comment, but now I get it. Okay.
In terms of changes, the plans that you have are the plans that there have been no changes since for the last 2 weeks. So
no changes since the last change?
Yeah, since the last change, which I believe would have been back in March.
Okay, so it looks like the final best revision is the plan at Exhibit 44.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay, so that the rest is sort of provides a background narrative and evolution, but what we care about is the looks like Exhibit 42 through 50, which also includes the road mod.
Yes.
Okay.
There were just a couple very minor comments that I had emailed Clark County staff this morning. Is it something I need to review?
I didn't go over like some of the minor words that you had with him, but if you like, you can go ahead just to get it on the record.
I take it's always fun to pick out spelling errors, so. It's not really a spelling error, but on page 9 of 37, near the end, it says townhouses are attached single family houses. So, Anyway, I think it was the single family. It's very much a typo that I would do because I rely on spell check.
You know, I also have to mention that you've been representing developers before me for many, many years. I never knew your firm had a different spelling than your last.
You're not
sorry
the
about
only
that.
One. The only other thing that I had on page 27 of 37, under condition A1, section B, it says final engineering plans shall show a minimum 20 square foot private open space with landscape. And I emailed and got a response this morning that it would be appropriate that that would go under building permits.
Okay.
Because at the time of final engineering construction drawings, typically we don't have the builder's vision for the lot. We know the footprint, but it's something we could show if you feel it's important, but the consensus was that that would be more appropriate at building permit.
And that should be 200, not 20.
And it should be 200, not 20.
That is kind of small, I mentioned. So the E series, stick it in E series of conditions.
Yes.
Got it.
One last clarification I would like to make. Page 33 of 37, under plat notes, D7, section F, it clarifies that no direct access is allowed on Northeast 68th Street. And my drawing that's up on the screen, you could see the duplex on lot 31 shows a driveway onto 68th Street.
Yeah.
So I wanted it on record. The code requires that a duplex on a corner lot has orientation to each of the sides or the streets on each side. And we can facilitate the orientation of the building and then have all the garages on the lesser classification street.
So I'm not tracking it. Is there a direct access or is it onto 68th or is the driveway for the duplex lot number 31 onto 16th?
There's one driveway. If you look at the drawing, can you see the drawing that's up there?
Mm-hmm.
There's a GAR. That's garage. We're showing a garage pointed towards 68th, and that's not allowed by the access code. So I don't believe this is going to be an issue because at the time of building permit, we can submit a design that has an orientation. It'll look like it's facing 68th. But
okay,
garages so will.
So you'll meet this condition. You're okay with this condition. It does in canon is okay to apply to lot 31. Okay.
I'm not asking for a change. It's a clarification that our drawing is incorrect, and I'm
okay.
Bringing it to your attention.
I got it.
And I didn't want this to come up at building permit and then have this discussion not been in the record to clarify.
Okay. That let me think about how to address that, but I understand it.
The only other last thing, just in case there was, the presentation was very good, so I don't think this is as necessary as it was in the beginning, but the mailing that went out for the land use public hearing agenda did still mention a 9-unit apartment complex.
Okay.
Of course, that's not being done. So that was one of the other designs.
Okay. The way, as a matter of law, that's dealt with is, if anyone is concerned about the apartments, they can come and testify and find out how it has changed. But as originally proposed, I think that was part of the deal. So these things, I mean, they change throughout the application process, but also they could change at this point in time. And if it's an issue that matters to people, they're kind of obligated to show up and participate and find out what's the final word on these things. That's why I kind of make a big deal of what is the final plan that's before me for consideration tonight.
And I have to say thank you to Clark County staff. We had many meetings where we looked at narrow lot standards, the overlay code, the zoning code, and sometimes all three of them appeared to contradict each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, initially, this also had one more element, which was a planned unit development. all four of those together, it just did not work at all. So we had to remove the planned unit development simply to make it work.
I got to tell you, this kind of looks like a kind of a master's thesis type project.
Yes.
So congratulations to you and staff to having navigated the thread of the needle with all these various standards that apply.
Yeah, we're very happy. I think the end result is superior to actually the first 9 submittals, so we're happy to be here as well.
10th time's the charm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to testify in favor? Anyone with neutral testimony, questions? Anyone opposed? Wait, neutral? Come on down then.
Hello, I'm Curtis Knope, K-N-O-P-P. I reside at 2215 Northeast 68th Street, Vancouver, Washington, 98665. My mailing address is 6400 Northeast Highway 99, number G265. Or Suite G265.
You're not far from the site then?
I am not. I'm less than a half a mile down to the east of the site, across the street from Hazel Dell Parks, where I live at.
Okay.
And the reason I said I'm neutral is I'm not necessarily opposed to the development because, it is property that can be developed. I question why there's a duplex in an R1-6 area, but, I'm not up on all the rules, so I'm not going to get too attached to that. But the thing that I don't know if everybody or anybody in here knows that this area had just went through a huge issue at the other end of 68th Street with some apartments going in. I don't know how many units there was, a couple of hundred. And as of right now, I don't know when the traffic count was done for this development, if it was recent, but I can tell you there's more traffic on the road today than there was 6 months ago. Not only is there more traffic, higher volume speeds. But that's not unusual for that road. They speed down the road all the time. I will make a comment about the traffic department, Clark County.
And when you say that road, you mean 68th?
68th Street.
Okay.
68th Street has even though there's been traffic studies out there showing that people are not speeding or there are not too many of them speeding, when the police officers come out and do their studies, if they park on the road, guess what? They see them coming 3/4 of a mile away. Guess what they do? They drive the speed limit. When they're not there, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour is not uncommon. I've seen in front of my house, I had a delivery come and I just happened to be watching out the window. Car passed the guy and he was turning into my driveway. I'm on the south side of 68th Street. The guy passed him. It's a passing area from there in front of the county park, which for me, I don't understand that. The biggest traffic generator we have, other than probably down at the other end of the street with the big apartment complex that went in and through the city of Vancouver, doesn't have a no-passing area in front of it. I don't understand that. I was going to make a comment about the traffic office. Castlewood Estates, which is the one just east of this development, was done, I don't know how many years ago. You might be able to tell me. I don't know. It's been 20 years or so maybe. They were supposed to. The county put in, they widened the north side of the road.
How far away is that?
Castlewood. Castlewood is right. It's the easterly side of that property there.
Okay.
When they built that, they had to, the county or the developer, widened a little bit of the road out on 68th Street on the north side, paved it, and striped it with an 8-inch line, which means, and that was supposed to be a walking area for everybody from up there where the current development's at. There was also another new development that went in a few years before Castlewood, Carey's House Estates, which is on the south side. So all these people were coming into the area, So the county put this walking area in. Last year when they paved it, made a speedway, more of a speedway out of the road, they refused to paint an 8-inch wide line from the county park down to the edge of just before 17th Street. The unfortunate part about it, Clark County Parks, that property from the current park area goes clear to almost 17th Street now. They own the frontage along 68th Street. It was a give back by the farm, because the farm got 5 or 6 acres or something, and so they gave it to the park.
Okay. You have to kind of like come to a point that I can take into consideration here.
Oh, okay. You can't take in speeding on the road as a point?
I can, but it's
well,
the thing is that there's development throughout this region of the county, and it's in process and it's in progress. And so the one question that does matter is, to what extent did the traffic report for this development take into account recently approved subdivisions? That there'll be an answer to that. Your observations about speeds and volumes along adjacent to the site are relevant. The farther you get from this site, the less relevant it is, because I'm limited in my ability to have developers correct pre-existing problems and deficiencies, and certainly the farther from this site, the less authority I have.
I get that. But our concern in that area is our safety. Getting out of our driveways, cars going by way too fast, poor sight distance. I would also request that there be no parking along 68th Street on that job.
Is there parking along there?
It's a collector, as a C2, as I understand it. And I believe parking is allowed.
Both sides?
Yes.
Well, that's great. What is that, an 8-foot-wide parking area?
Yes.
So my question would be is, how am I expected to see past the car that's parked there? Or how about a half-ton pickup? We can't see past people. That's the issue out there. It's our safety. We live there. There, my understanding, there is something coming to the road within the next couple of years.
You know,
called a sidewalk.
A project, okay.
There was a grant done to find out if there was a sidewalk that was needed along 68th Street.
So are there sidewalks near the park?
There is no sidewalks at the park.
Okay. And so there are no sidewalks basically from the park over all the way to 99?
I'm sorry. From the park to Highway 99, you mean? There are no sidewalks on the north side of the road, no.
Okay.
There's some, well, excuse me, the Castlewood Estates has a couple hundred feet maybe.
Right next to this, okay.
Yeah, Castlewood Estates does. These guys are going to have another couple hundred feet. So in my view, the county is lacking the responsibility of making the roadway safe for all of us that are living there currently. And I get where you're saying the farther away you get, the less you can do about it, but at some point in time, the county's got to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I don't want my family hurt out there, no more than you would like your family hurt on your road, because people are speeding up and down it. There needs to be some type of traffic calming on that road.
Sir, I can give you a name of someone you can talk to. If you'd like, I can give. Yes, absolutely.
Jazz?
Absolutely.
I know
you've talked to him.
I know EJAS. I work for the Washington State Department of Transportation. I've been in several meetings with EJAS.
Okay.
I'm retired about 6 years, so.
Okay.
So I know who EJAS is. Okay. I have his phone number. I have Matt Griswold's phone number.
All right.
They're the ones that said no to a wide line, a very cheap, very inexpensive, low cost enhancement. I get that a wide line doesn't make anybody safer. But what it does do is, if the sheriff sees them cross it, they can ticket them for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, also what it takes is people like you showing up at meetings like this, and unfortunately it takes persistence, but it sounds like you have a good deal of energy for it.
Well,
that's what it takes.
There's a lot of people. A lot of people that aren't here because they didn't know about it. And that's the other thing. The city only has to do 300 feet away from the site. Is that the same for the county? I'm sorry?
Yes, it's 300 for urban.
See, and I think everybody along that road has some interest in what goes on it.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Because I get that everybody coming to the new development from Highway 99 is going to be won't affect me, but all of them that come from St. John's will.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to St. John's, it will. And right now, St. John's is not within your area; it's the city's. We've requested them put signals there because they're scratching. I hear there's people down there all the time, I think, because it's just an issue. We've asked to have signals put out at 17th and Minnehaha Avenue.
Mm-hmm. How far away is the city limit?
The city limits go to, if you're familiar with 68th Street at the east side, east end, there's a little set of chicane curves in there.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
That's about where the city limits is at.
Okay,
so and the they city own limits the road. They own the road from there out to St. John's, and south of it. So, but that's why I said I'm not necessarily against their job. I didn't. I was looking at this. My son pointed out that this is a revised 2.5, so we don't even have the latest edition here. I looked online this week.
What are you talking about? The staff report?
Yeah.
Staff report has
the template. The template was revised 2.5.15. It's a template that we use as standard and we do our staff findings. So it's just this template
okay,
that we have.
But you said that there is a revision to something in 3.5?
This staff report was issued April 25th and it has not changed since then.
Okay. So you're just saying that the revision has nothing to do with when it was done.
Right. This staff report was written. But they have these templates on their computer system,
sure.
And it hasn't been that template hasn't been changed since 2015.
Okay. So I think I've said everything I'd like
okay.
to say. So
yeah, that's a pretty clear message. You have to understand also that I frequently hear this because I'm asked to approve more development, and that's what guess what generates this traffic, and you know people like you have to live with. This and the other development and the one down the street and on. And these changes to the landscape require traffic calming. They eventually require signalization, all those things. And, you know, it happens when people bring these issues to the county's attention.
I've lived at that address, in that, right in that little area for more than 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma and grandpa owned a house next door to me.
So it was farmland out there then.
Mm-hmm. I live in my mom and dad's old house, which was part of my grandma and grandpa's full property, and my son lives in the house that I had built just behind us. So, and I grew up down the street, so I'm very familiar with the area. The other thing I'd make a comment about, and you guys have no way of dealing with it, but we had to deal with it when they built the apartment complexes, of all the large dump trucks and equipment stopping in the middle of this road.
Oh, construction traffic?
Construction traffic. Dump trucks and stuff parked. They parked.
In 68th?
On 68th Street. They parked in front of Carrie Chouse Estates. They parked in front of the Apostolic Lutheran Church that's just like one house down from me. I couldn't see to get out of my driveway. You know, when you got a 12-inch wide tire and big, can't see to get out.
Right,
I had to put my car's front end out on the travel lane to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But they can find someplace else that's better for them to go to park.
Also, there is a complaint line, isn't there, for construction and erosion problems during construction?
There will be a county inspector assigned to the project. So you're certainly... you certainly have the option to be in touch with the county inspector.
Sure.
Yeah.
When the flag goes down and the construction starts on this, get that person's number.
Yeah, I would. I'm sorry. Just something popped into my mind. Do they know which direction they're going to send their runoff for their off their streets?
Mr. Sterling can explain how that's going to work.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in a neutral category? Come on down. We have seating for three.
Hi, I'm B.J. Brunner, B-R-U-N-N-E-R. My mailing address is 2916 Northeast 68th Street, Vancouver, 98665. Once again, I'm not opposed to the development either. I'm just concerned after watching the traffic issues with putting up the apartments on the east side of 68th Street, that with the crest of the hill so close to this development, true, it may meet the 300-foot minimum requirement for vision, but if we start putting cars parked out on the street, it may be harder for you to look around to see the traffic coming down that hill. And as the last gentleman indicated, they don't usually follow the speed limit when they're coming over the crest of the hill. And so I would see that as a potential for an area where accidents could easily occur.
Well, one question. Mr. Bonamini, do you know what the posted speed is out there?
And there is a finding that addresses site distance specifically. So we're looking under the transportation section, and specifically I'm talking about finding 5. I can defer to the, is 35 posted speed.
35, and there are warning signs for limited sight distance. Okay. So there, it is possible if they document excessive speeds, and you know it's not the cops who measure that; it's rubber tubes on the road. And if they are consistently in excess of the posted speed, that would justify traffic calming. A number of other measures can be put in place if it's a big speed area. But that's, unfortunately, that can't happen until it happens, until you've got a problem. The county will not put out traffic calming until there's a need for it. It has to be a really documented need.
And that's been our concern as a neighborhood when we established Keep 68th Street Safe. Momentum is we're just looking at all the potentials for accidents, and we've been told by traffic engineers in the past that we have to wait until it gets bad before anything happens as far as traffic lights and that kind of thing.
Right. Well, traffic lights aren't considered traffic calming devices.
Right. I understand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Who's next?
My name is Tom Lackey, L-A-C-K-I. I live on 1517 Northeast 72nd Street, Vancouver, Washington, 98665. I have a few questions and to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, looking at the map on the northwest corner, there is a, looks like some kind of parking or landscape.
Here in northeast corner?
Northeast corner.
Yes, correct. And I couldn't find any info. What's that?
Okay, we'll get an explanation for that. That's an odd little thing, you're right. Okay. What else?
Second of all, right there with the, on that northwest corner, is there a plan for any fence, maybe like a privacy fence?
We will get a response to that, too.
There is.
And it's the northwest corner you're talking about?
Yeah, on the north side, where the three, the unit 16, 17, and 18 are with the...
Okay, that's the northeast.
Yes. Oh, northeast, sorry.
Okay.
The reason for the fence, I ask, there's lots of trees there, and there's lots of family of hawks living there, so...
Oh, okay. And the trees are on this site or on the adjacent property?
Actually on my site, which is north of that.
Okay. If they were nesting in trees on this site, the trees will usually come down. That's the way development works.
I understand. There's no clarification. Wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
There was another... The other question I have, is this the final map? Because I seen the other map online, which had a park there.
There's a park right here.
a micro park.
I believe is there any way you can go back to the first map that was like a second page of this?
It's the same.
Is it the same?
It's just orientated different.
All right. Okay, we can skip that, I guess. And the last questions I had was the barrier, which was discussed earlier on the east side, if the barrier will stay in place on 70th Street.
That barrier is going away, but there will be a barrier on the west end of 70th. Is that correct, Melissa?
I believe that.
Okay. Yeah, the barrier that's there currently will go away, and 70th will come through into the site, and then there'll be a barricade at the west end of 70th at the boundary of this property.
Okay.
Okay, we'll get answers to those other questions.
All right.
Thank you. You're next.
My name is Jason Knope. I reside at 2213 Northeast 68th Street.
Can you spell your last name?
K-N-O-P-P.
Okay. You're the son.
I am, yes.
Multi-generational residence. Okay, go ahead.
My concern isn't necessarily the development itself, but also the speed on the road. We've had countless interactions.
And you're, to be clear, 68th?
68th Street, correct. We've had multiple interactions with the county in regards to this, and the conclusion that we get pretty much every time is it's a collector road, 35 miles an hour is appropriate, and basically, sorry.
But you observe speeds much higher than that routinely?
Significantly. A couple weeks ago, I watched a car going eastbound that was about 100 feet from the Isidore Park entrance move into the northern westbound lane to avoid a car that must have been traveling 90 miles an hour so that they didn't get hit while they turned into the park. That would have been a disaster had that happened. As they slowed down a turn left, which is north, into the Hazeldale Park, they would have been demolished by the car that was traveling behind them if they hadn't moved into the westbound lane the wrong direction.
To get out of the way.
To get out of the way. And that's pretty common. I think most of the people who end up at these meetings, developers and people of the county, who don't travel that road or rarely travel that road.
Don't live there.
Have no idea how bad it's been. When I was a kid, I had motorcycles going well over 100 that ran me off with my bicycle off the road. Mm-hmm. So this has been an ongoing thing since I was a child. And having to stick your nose out into traffic to get onto the road or having to slow down significantly just to turn, make a 90-degree angle into your driveway, and having traffic traveling at excessive speeds is dangerous as well. You run the risk of getting hit in the front or the rear on that road, and it's extremely dangerous. And this is never taken into consideration. The developments are always put into place. And then they say, if things are bad enough, perhaps we can take care of something. Instead of putting something in place ahead of time when it should happen, the road should be safe before they allow significantly more traffic onto the road. I think the development at the city side estimated an additional 1,400 cars per day on the road. I don't know if you guys knew that, but this is significantly smaller, but it's still more cars on the road. And we've had several other developments along the road in the past, and we keep adding more and more trips to the road, but not taking into account speed.
Okay. Well, again, I've got these in my notes. I urge you and your father to keep up the conversation with the county. That's the only way that things will happen. I mean, I'm just being asked to approve the creation of these lots, how these transportation facilities function currently or when this development builds out. That's beyond my pay grade, but I know you have to live with it.
Yeah, we do. And it's a big concern of ours. Like I said, we usually just get shut down. They say 35 is appropriate, so that's where it's going to stay. Mm-hmm. There's no discussion after that. So we just keep telling them. We keep getting the same answer. There's a Hilton that was trying to go in just over the hill on the...
to the east?
To the west.
Okay.
As you're heading down the hill. And they were supposed to have two entrances and exits on 68th. And they told us as long as everybody drives appropriately, according to the weather, 35 is fine. Because people can get in and out of there without any problems. I've taken pictures up the road of traffic backed up past quite a ways, past where that would be. And if a car comes flying over that hill at 50-plus like they often do, they would slam into the traffic that's waiting at the signal at Highway 99 and Northeast 68. So it's a problem all around, and the county needs to do something about the speed in our road.
So. Okay. Duly noted.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone else in a neutral capacity? Anyone opposed? Anyone at all? Okay, Mr. Sterling, rebuttal?
For the record, Joel Sterling. It sounds like there's some work that needs to be done on the surrounding area in terms of traffic. We did hire a licensed traffic engineer to do our study. The traffic study focuses on capacities based on standards. Those standards were met, and the development did not cause any of the intersections in the area to exceed their capacity or the road sections to exceed their capacity. I'm not aware that those traffic studies also do speed studies. I think it's mainly volumes that they're looking at. So the speed study is typically something that is arranged through other departments by the neighbors. One thing that I would like to add into this, the development will pay traffic impact fees, and those traffic impact fees are for the purpose of improvements within the vicinity of the site. Now, vicinity is typically the section of the county, I believe. So I don't know if there's any way that there could be suggestion that the traffic impact fees from this development could be used on 68th for striping or traffic calming. But it's not something that I, as an applicant, I can guarantee
Yeah, state law limits the use of impact fees to just capacity increasing improvements, add an extra lane, that kind of thing, or striping, add a bike lane. I think adding sidewalks would be considered maybe capacity increasing. So things like that. But you know what's going to fundamentally get at the excessive speeds here? I'm not really sure.
Sure. Just an observation. I know there will be fees paid as building permits are pulled, and the building permits are what ultimately result in the traffic trips. The comment of parking on Northeast 68th Street, we are doing frontage improvements. So the cars that are currently parked on that road are likely on the edge of the existing pavement. But if you look at our drawing, we're increasing the width of the road along the front of the development. So if people choose to park on 68th Street, they would be out of the normal travel lanes. So I believe that would offset the site distance concern. Construction traffic is always a complaint we get. That's something that...
I hear it a lot, too.
Yeah, the inspection department is aware of. During our pre-construction meeting, the contractors are told not to do it. However, sometimes it does take some enforcement, so I encourage calling the inspection line, or there's probably a complaint line or something, or even I believe the sheriff's department can direct a caller to the correct
people. I've seen sheriffs get involved when there is construction on a particularly dangerous stretch of highway, and the sheriffs will get out there, and their presence slows people down and makes things safer. I seldom see them move the dump trucks out of the right-of-way because they're there just temporarily anyway.
That's correct. The only other notes that I took, stormwater management mm-hmm. in this site, we did extensive soil testing. So the main facilities rely on treatment of the stormwater in vaults with filters, and that meets the Western Washington Hydrology Manual water quality standards. Once the water has been treated, then we'll drop it into dry wells and perforated pipe that are spread throughout the site. They're not focused in one area. So we have facilities in the 26-foot alleyways. We've got facilities down in private easements.
So it entirely infiltrated on site?
That is correct, yes. The Western Washington Manual requires extensive safety factors. So we're basing all of our facilities on field testing. And the testing will be done at the time of construction as well to verify that our calculations are correct. There is a condition of approval that speaks to this, just requiring us to verify those rates again. Talking about that little park up in the northeast corner, that's something that we volunteered as a offset for a departure request. It's just an area that three more people could park. There's additional vegetation. There will be landscaping on all sides of the development within a landscape buffer. I don't believe that fencing is a requirement, but it may be a requirement of the L5 or L3, I think. L1 buffer. We have a 5-foot L1 buffer up in that area. It will be screened, but I can't commit to a fence since we're just following the county standards for the landscape buffers. Typically, these developments do have fences, but it's the option of the owner of the project if they wish to do that or not.
Yeah, typically people will put in their own fences, as I recall, and builders will put them in to make the lots more saleable.
That's correct, yes. Any other items that I missed?
Yeah, the big issue is the pre-existing problems on 68th. And a lot of it sounded like it was in the hands of the county over time to address that.
I do know the traffic engineer does take into account developments that are in the area, existing and previously approved. And obviously this apartment complex would have already been approved. So those traffic trips would have been considered in our traffic study.
Yep.
But again, capacity and speed are likely two different points of study. And I'm not aware of a speed study that was done specific to 68th Street.
That would be very unusual in the typical traffic study required for a subdivision. It is capacity of all the affected intersections. And there's normally the crash history of affected intersections within a mile or 2 miles, depending upon the zoning. I don't see that addressed. I will check the traffic engineering report. But there's typically a crash history report component in the traffic study. Okay.
That's everything I have.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Come back to staff. Either of you want to weigh in on issues that you've heard in testimony?
I did just want to say that the L1 standard does not require a fence, but it does require one tree for every 30 linear feet to be landscaped, and it's mainly ground cover with some shrubs and trees.
Okay.
And if also, if there was a previous, Mr. Lackey had said something about an additional park or something, if you saw it online, the pre-application original had a PUD that had a larger park with the submittal, but that one's not going forward.
PUD did not survive the review process, and parks are part of that requirement. Okay. Mr. Bonamy, traffic, speeds, volumes, parking?
Number of issues were raised with respect to 68th Street itself, and I know that some of these issues have been raised. For the record, I will provide a traffic engineer's name who can be contacted potentially for follow-up. Ejaz Khan, E-J-A-Z, first name, last name, K-H-A-N. He's a professional engineer, traffic engineer with the county. The phone number, 360-397-6118, extension 4914. He's a good place to start in terms of questions, and I know that some of those conversations have been ongoing. But follow-up can also occur with him and with his group.
Okay. Well, I've just encouraged people in the audience to continue pestering the county because that's the only way it works. Anything else?
No.
Okay. With that, I will close the record on this item and take it under consideration. I'll issue a written decision in approximately 2 weeks. And I thank all of you for coming and participating, and I urge you to keep it up. Thank you. That concludes this item, and it concludes tonight's hearing.